And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Ah, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Got a lot of news to talk about here, including, you may recall a few weeks ago, I talked to a motel owner on Aurora who was so frustrated because of all the prostitution that's going on right outside of her motel. Back in the 70s, when I was in high school, Aurora was just filled with hookers. And there were all these little flea bag motels that, you know, rented rooms by the hour. And then they started cleaning up the streets. But the last couple of years, Aurora has just become a brothel once again. And this poor motel owner, she runs a nice little motel, and she was getting negative comments on the review websites, not because of the motel or its cleanliness or its friendliness, but because people had to walk through hookers and johns just to get into the office to get their room keys. And Candace Robertson is the motel owner, and she told me about how bad it's gotten.
Many times where they've been dropped off in our driveway, and they'll stand on either side of our sign. And so people that are, you know, minivan full of kids coming in for vacation, they pull into the driveway and they're greeted by prostitutes. Every day I go in and it's a battle of which girl is standing on the corner. In the middle of the day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a van that pulled up and a girl went over and she was negotiating with her John right there on the corner.
It's got to be frustrating to be a business owner and see how that has taken over the streets. So why is this happening? At the Hot Air website, Jazz Shaw, who's a great columnist, I love his writing, but Jazz Shaw pointed out that as these new sets of laws that has cracked down on those websites like Backpage and others where prostitutes would offer their services. And so they would make these private transactions. They would meet. I don't know where they'd meet. I don't know if the prostitutes had a place where the Johns could come, if the Johns brought them over to their house. I don't know. But as we've cracked down on these new sets of laws regarding the websites, street prostitution is running rampant once again. And with that, yeah, and I've talked so much about this. In a city where heroin is legal now, in King and Snohomish County, as long as you have less than a gram, heroin is legal. Meth is legal. But you can't play a hand of 25-cent video poker. You go to prison for 10 years. I mean, think about how wacky we are here. Sally Dime Bagshaw wanted to look into taxpayers buying heroin for addicts. The drug users have taken over our streets and our parks and our schoolyards. We've legalized heroin and meth and every drug, because the prosecutors say they will not prosecute less than a gram. But prostitution, they do all these crackdowns, video poker or online poker. You can go to prison for 10 years with a felony. How upside down have we gotten? And why? Well, it's all about money. You know, the gambling interests like the Washington State Lottery, the tribes, they do not want competition. So they made donations to lawmakers, and we've passed the toughest online gaming laws in the country. And while other states have allowed sports betting, used to be only allowed in Nevada, but A recent Supreme Court decision has opened up sports gambling. And so New Jersey and Mississippi, states all around the country, are allowing sports books to open and operate. But here in Washington, you can go to prison for 10 years if you make an online sports bet. But with the sex laws, the crackdown on Backpage, because they said it was about sex trafficking. But it's just moving to the streets now. And so our streets become filled with, you know, these acts that just destroy businesses in neighborhoods. And there's so much crime that's attendant to prostitution. Prostitution is something that I've long believed should be legal. You have medical checks of the women. They can be very selective about who they allow in the establishment. They have brothels in Nevada, and the disease rate is minimal because they have to undergo regular blood tests if you work in those brothels down in Nevada. But we keep it illegal here. We get prostitution running rampant on the streets. I just can't believe how upside down we are. The drugs are the thing we've legalized, and the stuff that stays illegal would make, I think, things a lot better around here and on the streets. Next up in the Fastest 15, did you watch that? I know you're a huge fan of Last Man Standing.
Yes.
You've been telling me, you've been begging me to watch that show
for years
now, and I've never seen an episode until last week.
I'm so excited about this.
When I was back in Orlando, one night my wife and I were just resting because we'd flown, taken a red eye, and I saw an episode. It was one of the best sitcoms I've ever seen in my life.
I told you.
I know. I didn't listen.
I told you would love it. And you need something happy like that to go to sleep to at night.
I do.
Maybe you would sleep better.
So I'm recording all new and rerun episodes. And I've got about 30 episodes on my DVR, and that's my new go-to show. It's near perfect comedy.
He's genius. He delivers well.
I never saw Home Improvement either.
Oh, that was my favorite growing up. That's why I got into this one.
Yeah, but what I love about it is neither parent is a dope. Like on so many shows, the dad is always the goofy guy to be goofed on, and he's just, the kids are always making fun of him. But he's like a solid husband and father.
Right.
The wife is smart.
She's very smart, and she's not the typical just like in the background female role. She expresses her opinion often. She is involved in all of the parenting stuff, but it's just, and they disagree on a lot, and they talk it out.
And the kids don't make fun of the parents. They're... Nope. Anyway, it's just, gosh, it's good. So I haven't seen the new season yet. But then Murphy Brown got a reboot. And my wife was a huge Murphy Brown fan.
As was I.
When it was on, when was it on? In the 80s?
Early 90s.
Okay.
I think,
my wife loved, I never watched it, but my wife absolutely loved Murphy Brown. So she watched the reboot, which was just a few nights ago.
It was terrible.
That's what my wife said.
It was.
She said it was a disaster.
Acting, it was bad writing. It was easy jokes, and they were all anti-Trump, anti-everything. It was just ugh. I pulled a couple of clips if you want to play.
Oh, yeah.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll get to that in just a sec. Mm-hmm. I'll play the clips in a sec because I read this column, a review, what Murphy Brown got wrong and what Last Man Standing got right. And they said that, Tim Allen is a conservative, a rare conservative in Hollywood, and his character on the show is conservative. But
he typically describes himself as more independent, so he won't own conservative.
Yeah.
He says, I'm independent. I make my own choices.
But the show is not about, I'm a conservative and I've got kids. Yeah, and his son-in-law is a super liberal guy. But that's not what the show's about. It's just about humor.
No. Yes, and he does take easy jabs sometimes, as did Murphy Brown, but they're way more clever.
And they said that in this review that Murphy Brown, that politics is what the show is all about, And because of that, it's like, okay, we're going to just be this liberal show and we'll figure out jokes that'll fit that, as opposed to Last Man Standing, which is we're going to be a funny show and our ideology is just kind of goes along with it.
Right. And spoiler alert. So part of Murphy Brown's, part of the premise is that her son now is grown up and now he just was given a show on the Wolf Network, which is, I believe, a play on the Fox Network. And so then they compete in the same time frame. And of course, she wins, which is the most unrealistic part of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's it just talks about that Murphy Brown just sounds desperate to be relevant. And on Last Man Standing, and that it's just humor is what they're going for. This is actually one of the problems with a lot of radio shows. To be perfectly honest, I think there are an awful lot of radio talk shows where the ideology is paramount. And those shows, sometimes they sound strained because they have to fit every topic to the ideology instead of the host just being honest. And maybe the host is, you know, right or left of center. But if the host is just honest and determines every story in their opinion based on honesty and their perception of the world, and eventually, of course, that host's politics is going to come out or be revealed. But the shows that are about their politics, and there are certainly, you know, entire radio networks that are all right-wing. They tried it all left-wing, and that was a failure. Cairo is one of the rarest radio stations in the country where there's a variety of ideologies, because the conventional wisdom is that you have to, you know, just play to a right-wing or a left-wing audience. And so that's how most radio is constructed, in radio stations and radio networks. But on Cairo, what they've done is they've hired people who are interesting, regardless of their politics, and said, go do a radio show. And so you have a variety of opinions, but it's not built around ideology. And, you know, we frankly are one of the most successful radio stations in the country. But I thought this whole Murphy Brown, Last Man Standing thing was a great national comparison to just the wrong way to go about doing any kind of showbiz. So they had Hillary Clinton on Murphy Brown.
I'm qualified and ready on day one.
And I also assume you've had previous secretarial experience?
Absolutely. For 4 years, I was the secretary of a very large organization.
And you have all the requisite skills, computer, email?
Emails. I do have some experience with emails.
Just painful. I couldn't believe how much my wife hated the reboot.
I think it's sad because I did like the show as well, and now it's going to be remembered for the terrible reboot instead of the great show it was back in the day.
As opposed to Last Man Standing.
Come on, do you honestly respect my opinion?
Not even a little. But I do respect your right to have one.
Yeah, that's him talking to his liberal son-in-law. Next up in the Fastest 15, when you get on an airplane, you just want to get to your destination, and Boston to Kansas City, that's a fairly long flight. And Kansas City's middle of the country. It's probably about a three and a half hour flight. Well, a flight from Phoenix to Boston has had to be, Boston to Phoenix. So that was probably 4.5, 5 hours. It had to be diverted to Kansas City overnight because of an unruly passenger. A guy boarded the plane with a woman and two dogs. He appeared to be drunk. He was leaning against the overhead baggage compartment. A passenger came by and said, what are you going to do, some pull-ups? And the guy grabbed onto the baggage compartment and started to do pull-ups on the plane in front of everybody. And he wouldn't stop. And he kept ordering drinks. And the other passengers were upset. He wouldn't sit down. And finally, the guy was so obnoxious, and they started getting worried about the safety of the passengers. They had to set the plane down in Kansas City. Passenger David Markowski said the guy was just nuts.
The next thing we came out and said, we're going to be diverted to Kansas City to get him off the plane. He was leaning up against the where you put the bags overhead. and a passenger came by and said, what are you going to do, some pull-ups? And the guy actually grabbed onto it and started doing some pull-ups on the plane in front of everybody.
The man ordered drinks on board, and a short time later, the situation turned tense.
The flight attendant probably asked him about three or four times to sit down, and he refused to sit down. And then he really got verbally abusive with her. Started calling him names, profanity.
American Airlines says once the plane landed in Kansas City, law enforcement responded and removed the man.
Security came onto the plane to go ahead and get him, and he was really not really understanding what was going on.
The FBI says at this time, the passenger is not facing any charges.
I think it's ridiculous. Put him in the bathroom, lock the door.
That's what I was going to say.
Everybody has to be late.
The men on the plane should be able to just restrain the guy, put zip ties around his ankles and wrists, put some duct tape over his mouth, and just store him in the back.
Agreed. And said everyone has to have their day ruined.
Everybody should be able to sue the guy, too, for lost time. And the airline should be able to sue him. A guy like that should just face massive financial punishment. Okay, finally, in the Fastest 15, Tom Brady is probably the greatest quarterback in NFL history. He makes a fortune, makes $25 million a year. And he is the second highest earner in his family because his wife, the supermodel Gisele Bündchen, she has released her toothbrushing habits so that all of us could learn from her. She's got a beautiful smile.
She does.
Oh, she's gorgeous. So here's the thing about brushing my teeth. Do you have one of those Sonic hairs?
I do.
Do you do the full 30 seconds in each cycle? It's 2 minutes.
Yes.
Right? 30 seconds on the front of your top teeth, 30 seconds on the front of your bottom teeth.
No.
30 on the back, 30 on the back.
I don't do that strategically, no.
Because my dentist has been getting on me. I was using it wrong, too. I kind of would move it around like a regular toothbrush. I didn't know you're not supposed to do that. You just hold it against a tooth for 3 seconds, and then you move it.
Let it do its thing.
Yeah. I think maybe it's four seconds per tooth, and you just, let it go. Anyway, Gisele. And I never have time. I don't have 2 minutes to brush my teeth. I always shortchange it. But Gisele, she spends 15 minutes every day brushing her teeth and swilling her mouth with coconut oil. And she said that she wanted to share her lifestyle in this memoir, Lessons, My Path to a Meaningful Life.
So I recently tried the charcoal toothpaste, and that's pretty, it's supposed to work. It's supposed to whiten your teeth.
Charcoal?
It's like a charcoal toothpaste, and so it's just gross when you smile with it in your mouth. I mean, it's black.
You should do it like Gisele. She wakes up every morning.
Like a better idea.
She wakes up between 5 and 6 a.m., by the sound of oceans coming off her phone. And then she doesn't leap out of bed unless the kids wake her up before the water sounds begin. She relaxes into the process of waking up, like tiptoeing into warm water. Hmm. And then she will brush her teeth for 15 minutes with coconut oil. And then she...
15 minutes, though. I can't even imagine that. It's ridiculous.
Then she meditates, lights a candle, gets into the lotus position, and she says it doesn't matter if you cross your legs.
She must start this at 3 a.m.
Between 5 and 6 a.m. What matters is sitting tall with your spine straight so energy can flow. So I'm going to get that book.
Did you see the part that she gives her kids
massages
before bed?
Every night.
Sign me up.
She gives her children foot massages, too.
With eucalyptus.
Those kids are lucky. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
We're going to check the news for you, and then who are we talking to next? Talking to the Magnolia guy?
No.
We're talking to the woman in Everett?
Yes.
Okay, I got to keep all of our guests straight. Another story of how crime have hit the streets of our region. That is coming up next. We've been talking for years now about the drug epidemic on our streets, and what that leads to is the worst property crime in the United States among major cities and regions. We have the worst property crime because there are so many addicts who are looking to get their next fix. I got a really interesting email from a listener named Sydney. Her family had quite the story, and Sydney joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Sydney, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Hi, Dory, of course.
You sent me an email about what happened Friday night with your brother's car. So it was just parked at a pub, and tell me what happened.
Yeah, his car was parked at a pub in downtown Everett, and he actually, being a good citizen, called an Uber and got a ride home after drinking a little bit too much.
Okay.
And when he went back the next day with my mom to go get the car, it wasn't there. So they talked to the pub. They didn't tow it. They ended up calling the police, and the police came, and they filed a stolen car report.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the keys, I assume, were not in the car. Do you know how somebody would have driven away in it?
The keys were not in the car. However, he did lose his keys that night. And so we think that they might have found the keys, and then it just happened to find the car as well, too.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. And in this case, they did find the car. How much later did they locate it?
Yeah, so they found the car on Monday around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, still in Everett. It was over by Mariner High School.
Okay. All right. And then, I mean, that's good news. Your car gets stolen. You get it back within a couple of days. But tell my listeners about the strange discovery inside the car.
Yeah, so when we went to go pick up the car from the tow lot, we looked inside and realized it looked like someone had actually been living in there for the past couple of days. So when we finally got the car home and started to go through it, it was, there was 4 bags of clothes. There was a messenger bag that had notebooks in it. And then when I was digging underneath the seat, I pulled out a black bag full of needles. And there's probably 150 needles in that bag. So after realizing that, we immediately put gloves on and called the police and asked them if they wanted to come help us as well to go through the car just with finding needles.
Sure.
And as we went through more stuff, we found an entire drug kit. So it had like more needles. It had their spoons and other paraphernalia. And that was all in their bags and everything.
Yeah, that is so disgusting. That's, your car is so important to all of us, and to think about some drug addict thief living in it and shooting up in it, it is a really disgusting thought.
Yeah, and to make it even worse, we figured out that they went and bought air fresheners, and they actually made it look like they were going to take the car for quite a while, like buying air fresheners to like clean it up a little bit. And we found a bunch of like different receipts in there. So they honestly did live in it over the weekend. So it looked like they were trying to keep it for quite a while.
And then what was the police response when you got hold of them?
The police response was actually kind of frustrating once we found the needles in the car. Up until that point, they'd been really supportive, but they never searched the car when they originally found it. They just towed it. And then once we found the needles, we called the local sheriff, and they came, and they were actually pretty upset that they had to come over to us and to retrieve all the needles. And they didn't even offer to continue to look through the car to make sure that we could be safe searching the car. And I know in a previous instance, when I lived in Portland, my car was actually stolen down there as well by drug addicts. And when we went to go retrieve the car, the police officer, we hopped in it, and the police officer suddenly realized he didn't search the car to make sure that we wouldn't get poked or anything like that.
Sure.
And so he apologized and went through and searched the car. So having that prior knowledge, I was kind of frustrated that the police officer up here didn't actually want to go through the car, was upset to come get all the needles. And on top of finding all of the needles, we actually had IDs and addresses and information from in all of the bags. And they didn't even want to get any of the information of the people who stole the car.
Did they explain why? Did you ask? Because this is such a serious problem around here. And if you have IDs and evidence, you would think that handing them, not on a silver platter, that they still have to do some police work, but I would think that they'd be thrilled to be able to go after these guys.
That's what we thought too, but honestly, like, they just told us to shred it, and we were so upset at that point for them, one, being upset about having to come get the needles, and then hearing that, my mom and I just walked away, and we let my dad deal with the police officer, because we couldn't believe, like, we had information for who took it, we had all the needles, like, I don't know what more that they would necessarily want, like, I feel like that's what you would need in a police investigation, mm-hmm. and it's frustrating to just think that they're allowing these people to just continue to be out on the streets and to continue to do this.
Well, and then people wonder why we have such a tremendous drug and crime problem, and that's the answer right there. If the police won't even go after somebody when you give them phone numbers and evidence, of course drug addicts from around the country are going to come to our region, because the word is out that you can get away with not only the drug use but the crime in the Puget Sound area more easily than anywhere else in the country these days.
Absolutely, yeah. And after seeing that, I listen to your show all the time, and I know each area is a little different and things like that, and I just always thought the police in our area were so on top of things.
Yeah.
But to see that and see how they handled the drug and that kind of crime, it's really frustrating to see, and makes me question why where are my tax dollars going, and like, what are they actually doing to try and stop this issue around the neighborhood?
Yeah, well, I'd love to get answers from the Snohomish County Sheriff's Department. So let's stay in touch on this. You have a case number and all of that, I assume?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Maybe next week I'll try to get into this a little bit with them and figure out why the response was so lacking. Well, I appreciate you reaching out to me, Sydney, and sharing your story. And like I said, the reason I keep telling these stories is because until we make changes in our leadership around here, we're going to continue to be one of the worst drug and crime areas in the country. And it's just a shame what's happened to our region here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for letting me share my story with you.
Absolutely. Okay, Sydney, all my best. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Sydney Shea. I'd love to get your comments on this. You can text me. It's the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973. We have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. New bumper?
No, it's one that we've had for a while, but it's a good one. You like?
I think so. I didn't recognize it, so I had to ask Sean as it was playing, is this us? Are we back on? Yeah, I think I like it.
Yeah. Duo. It's very, called Magic Sword.
It's very theatrical.
It is.
I feel like I'm at a Cirque du Soleil show right now.
You are.
I am?
Yes.
One of the things that we need desperately around here is protection, you know, whether it's a gun in your house with all the burglaries that are happening. We've had so many stories about women getting attacked out on the streets. And my daughters are all runners, and I'm always concerned about that. And I want to make sure that they have good personal protection. And there are all kinds of devices out there. My wife and I have been looking at different ones to give our kids as birthday or Christmas gifts and all that. How about this? You could carry cayenne pepper. A woman down in Florida, she said that there were some girls bullying her daughter. And so the 46-year-old mom, she has been arrested after throwing cayenne pepper at two elementary school students that she said had bullied her kid. The TV station down there reported on exactly what went down.
They're not her kids to punish.
Investigators say 46-year-old Simone James confronted an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old in the parking lot for allegedly bullying her 10-year-old daughter.
She confronted them, basically telling them to leave her daughter alone, and threw what we believe is cayenne pepper mixture with salt at the two females.
I got so many thoughts about this. First of all, if you're taking your daughter's word that she was bullied, if you were the parents of the 8 and 11-year-old girls who had the cayenne pepper thrown in their face, wouldn't you just go berserk if some mom came and did that to your kid? Then the other thing, bullying is never justified, But if the mom is that crazy, maybe the kid is pretty crazy too. Maybe the kid gets bullied because she lives in a house with a mom who's so wackadoodle that mom's capable of that sort of thing. And then...
Wait, don't you get the if you know your kid's being picked on all the time and the school's taking weeks to respond, you get a little bit frustrated.
Her kid could be getting picked crazy. On because mom's crazy. And maybe the kid has turned crazy. Hey, a parent who's capable of doing that.
Agreed.
You might,
but then at the same time,
you might talk sternly to the kids. I'll tell you what. Right here, my mom did. When I was in third grade, How old was I?
Third grade, like eight.
No, I was six. So. I was 3 years younger.
Normal children are.
Yeah, I was 3 years younger than my classmates, so I was six. And you know, I'm not the biggest guy in the world now, so you can imagine how tiny I was 3 years younger than my classmates. And there was this kid at Whittier Elementary named Kelly Smith. And Kelly was one of the tallest kids in the class. And for whatever reason, Kelly on the playground, they just had a big concrete playground at Whittier and Ballard. Kelly liked to pick me up, turn me upside down, and drop me on my head on the playground.
And that was not punished?
I don't know what the school did, but I told my mom about Kelly dropping me on my head. And my mom went to school. She went up to Kelly.
Turned him upside down, dropped him on his head?
No. She said, this is really smart. She said, hey, you know how small Dory is? You know, he's younger and smaller. I need somebody to protect him. Would you kind of watch out for him? And would you protect him? And Kelly and I became good friends.
What?
Yes. He lived in Magnolia. And I don't know why.
You didn't pay him?
No. But we became friends. We'd have sleepovers once in a while. I remember at least once going to his house and having an overnight, and we became buddies. He turned out to be a really nice guy.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but that was how it all started. He would drop me on my head, and my mom didn't throw cayenne pepper in his face.
I feel like there's some part of that story missing.
Well, it was a long time ago. but all the basic elements are
okay.
Right on.
Just like that. He changed his mind.
He became my bodyguard. Yes. It was long before the movie. My mom was very smart. So that's the way to handle it. You just out clever people. You don't throw cayenne pepper in their face. Coming up right after the news, I'm going to talk with a business owner in Magnolia, where Kelly lived, about how the lack of police response meant they had to do their own detective work. It's coming up next.